these documents here, and I'll have a copy for the media as well afterward. If you'll look, you'll see, well, let me tell you first, I was contacted by residents of the Indian Mountain, Rock Run, Pleasant Gap, Spring Garden communities in late fall of 2020. And so what you see in front of you here is an email 3 years and 3 days ago to the date, April 19th, 2021, where I reached out to Chairman Burgess, Administrator Steele, and I copied Commissioner Jones, since it is his district, providing a copy of a bill that I had drafted 3 years ago, over 3 years ago, to address the concerns of this community in the ATV park. And you'll see behind that attachment is a copy of that original bill. And then in the back, you'll see an email thread about a meeting that we had to discuss legislation, which you have before you now, in the fall of this past year. So I'm just, I give you all this to show you, this is not something that's just come out of the blue all of a sudden. So at that time, when we had this bill, I was asked by the chairman to give the commission some time to work with the park owners and see if they could come to a reasonable conclusion where everybody was happy. Several months after that, I was asked to set up a meeting by the chairman with several of the residents and representatives from ADEM. We had the ADEM folks come out and take a look at things. And yet again, at that point, we did not have a satisfactory conclusion to any of this. This past fall, I again met with Ava Maddox, Chairman Burgess, I think Matt might have been there, trying to remember who all was there, to discuss having the County Commission Association work on this legislation to address these concerns. So I sat down with Sonny Brassfield, who's head of the ACCA, and worked to address this. So you can see a pattern here. We've been working on this for quite some time. So after drafting this bill and speaking with several commissioners, I heard that there were a few concerns that perhaps some of the provisions were a little bit too strong or too harsh. And so every county commissioner has been offered the ability to have their concerns addressed, and any changes that they requested have been added into a bill. And that is a local bill, and I have copies of that, which I'm going to pass out to you right now. You've all had it in your email box since Friday. So after drafting this and taking all these concerns, this is where we're at, and here we are tonight. So in my perspective, this process has drug out for 3 long years, and I think the residents would agree that there's very little progress that's been made for their community. Tonight will be the last opportunity for the commission to weigh in on this legislation before the legislature adjourns this year. So what does this legislation do? It provides reasonable guidelines that the park must meet in order to operate. It allows the county license inspector or his or her designee to ensure that the park has met those guidelines. It gives the commission the option of charging a reasonable fee for those inspections so that the commission and the county is not out any money. And it allows the commission to permit that park annually. If they're not meeting the requirements or the guidelines are not met, you can choose not to permit them. So it basically gives the commission the control over whether the park meets the guidelines and gets permitted. And part of that would be setting quiet hours for the park. A few of the proponents of the park have stated that all we're doing is attempting to put these parks out of business. In reality, this is simply an attempt to make sure, as was said earlier, that these parks are being good neighbors. I recognize that the Indian Mountain area is out of sight and out of mind for 99% of the people of Cherokee County and all of you on the commission. But that does not mean, in my opinion, that these folks do not deserve help. All these issues, quiet hours being violated, folks running all over the night, crossing roads in front of cars, getting onto private property, tying up our EMS and emergency services. I've heard that there are, on average, about a life flight out of there once a month. Serious injury and even death has occurred out there at the park. Virtually any other industry this dangerous would be regulated by law, even if it were in the county. You cannot go out to that same piece of property and set up a Ferris wheel, bungee jumping. You can't even have a taco truck without some sort of permitting going on out there. And I understand that many of you like this to be dealt with by state law. We are working on that. But the absence of a state law, in my opinion, does not excuse the moral obligation this county commission has to regulate this type of industry and provide a safe place for residents to live, work, and play. Given the fact that time is of the essence, I would sincerely appreciate the commission's passage tonight of a resolution supporting this legislation to require permitting for ATV parks in Cherokee County. And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Okay, I'll answer questions. All right, so I'm looking at this that Matt handed out. And I'm looking at what you're proposing. These are hypothetical, okay? Because this is the concerns that I've been hearing. So it's 2 a.m. and there's someone on an ATV out on a trail that's close to a property line, and it's making all kinds of noise. All right. A resident hears it. It doesn't go away. They obviously get frustrated. They call 911. In this law right here, what happens?
There are two scenarios that could happen as I see it. Mm-hmm. One, as when you and I met with Representative Shaver, you requested a provision to be placed in the bill that if there is a quiet hours violation, there can be a fine for that. So there is a possibility of a $500 fine for a violation of the hours that the commission sets, whatever those are. Most places traditionally have been sun up, sun down. Some go a little later. So that's one. The other way, the less hands-on way to handle it would be, we're going to keep a tally of all these violations that occur throughout the year. And next year, when the park comes up for a permit, the commission does not have to grant that permit. So you can say to the park owners, we've had, 35 noise complaints. You run it after hours. We've had, multiple reports by law enforcement of folks darting out of our cars. We've pulled EMS records. We've seen all these injuries that are out there. Then the commission can make a determination, hey, we're going to permit you again, or maybe, for example, we're going to only permit you for 30 days, and you're going to have to come back in front of the commission, and we're going to evaluate what you've been doing. The permit does not have to be for a full year. So because you have the ability to wield the permit, I believe that will make folks more comply.
Okay. All right, I understand that. And I understand the permitting process and those violations could pile up. But what happens that night when they call 911? What can law enforcement do? What can they do? That's one of the things that we've dealt with is what can they do at that particular moment to eliminate that situation?
Well, the way that you had requested and drafted was to say that a violation was $500 for a noise violation, and it says in there that any law enforcement officer can issue that. That was something that had been requested that I added to the bill.
Right. So do they cite the person or do they cite the property owner?
Property owner. Because the property owner is allowing them to run in the park. That is on line 109, page 4. Hold on.
So, person calls and says, look, I've witnessed that there may be sewer coming out of someone's camper.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not seeing Alabama Department of Public Health in our ordinance, in our law here. Tell me what I can do as a citizen to report that. What would happen?
Okay, so as you and several commissioners and I had discussed, if you'll look on line 73, page 3, As a condition of getting the permit for the county, they must show copies of any other certification or approval necessary for the park to operate any other commercial activity taking place on park property but not related to ATVs.
Where are you at again?
This is line 73, page 3.
Okay.
So this covers, for example, your public health permits related to sewer, your public health permits related to having food trucks or vending out there. And if whatever, any other certification, depending on what kind of things they add or do, that would come under line 10. And so the public would be able to report that, or if the public brought it to me, I'd be happy to get them in contact with the right person.
Okay. All right, so I'm a person that lives downstream, and I noticed that the water is muddy a lot. Okay, looks consistently muddy, even after rainfall, I mean, not rainfalls, whatever. All right, and so I'm concerned that the water does not meet the standards. Okay? What do I do as a resident to report that, and how do we enforce something there?
If they brought that to the commission could deal with that. I'm looking at the right section here. Line 132, page 5. This deals with the best management practices established by the Alabama Forestry Commission. And line 136 says the commission may contract with a state forester to provide inspections or investigate compliance. In line 139, the commission can charge a reasonable inspection fee. Basically, if you're getting lots of complaints about the water, you can call a state forester, have them come out there, have them do an inspection, and then whatever that cost is, you can pass that on to the park if you choose to do so.
Does this get Alabama Department of Environmental Management off the hook?
No, in my opinion, it does not. They can still be involved. But as you and I will remember from our meeting with them over a year, approximately a year ago, they pick and choose when they want to get involved and when they don't. And we cannot control whether they decide it's going to be an issue or not an issue. So all we can do is report it and get them involved. But in terms of the commission being able to get quick, fast action in the way that you want it, that's why this is coming from Sunny Brassfield and the Commission Association, who you requested that I work with. They can come out much quicker, and you're paying for the service and getting reimbursed from the residents if you choose, or getting reimbursed from the park owners if you choose to. So it's going to be a lot quicker than getting a state agency.
Do you suggest a monthly monitoring of the water, or what would you suggest?
Honestly, I think that's up to the commission. If you want to get involved at that, I don't think you all want to get involved at that level.
Well, we don't know anything about water. I'm just saying that we would have to contract that out.
Well, I think you take it on a case-by-case basis. And also, you know, there's liability in here, and the residents may wish to handle that as a civil matter. That's an option as well. But I think what you're looking for is a good faith effort on part of the park to try to comply with what's here and be good neighbors. And I'll note too that one request from the commission was to lower the amount of liability insurance from $5 million to $1 million. That's been incorporated in the bill, as have all the other suggestions that you all have given me.
Okay, let me ask this. The bill has changed to meet some concerns, okay? There was a different bill that's actually advertised for local law than what is in here. There's some changes. Is that a problem?
Legislative Services has assured me that they are not substantial, and if they're not substantial, then we're fine on the advertising. One of the substantial changes, Commissioner Teague's point, treating all parks the same. We had brought in other parks, such as water parks or motocross or whatever. That would be a wholly, totally different topic, and that could not be handled in this bill. So we can come back and advertise. I'd be happy to work with the commission in the future to advertise a bill to set hours for the other parks. Of course, the county can do that for your own parks right now by resolution.
All right, because I'm looking at this that Matt handed us, you know, and it's talking about racetracks, and then it says ATVs, motorcycles. It actually says racetracks. Racetrack, ATV, motocross. And I think that's some of the concerns that Commissioner Teague had was about, you know, motocross and other tracks and things as well. So if we couldn't add those now, we would need to do those at another time? I mean.
I'd be happy to work with the commission to add those at another time.
Do y'all have any questions or comments?
I have one question. I've talked to the senator about it. Is, you know, the first bill you introduced, the state bill, was having our county engineer enforce being the designated or state engineer or the county engineer or the designated of choice, his current choice, to be the overseer of site. You changed it to license inspector. We talked earlier about this. You know, we got a great license inspector, but they're not a park. You know, they don't oversee parks. And that was one thing that I had concern about, who was going to get to oversee the roads, you know.
That's a good question. And to answer that, most everything in here is something that's got to be submitted. A map, or emergency contracts, or copies of permits, most of that is submitted. The actual inspection part can be contracted either with a state forester or someone else, or a designee of the license inspector. So the license inspector really is just, in my opinion, a neutral party that says whether or not they are checking all the boxes that are set forth here and recommending permitting or not permitting based on that.
So let me clarify. You're saying that the license inspector, when we look at our license inspector, and believe me, our license inspector doesn't know any of this right now, but that would basically be just the documents that they would be checking for. The site maps, any vendors that come, they would have to see if they're licensed and have sales tax and are paying sales tax and all those things that they're supposed to be doing, health ratings, whatever.
That's right.
And then access points, could be the county engineer because it could be a designee. And would we be the ones to say who that designee is, or?
You would be the ones to say who? Well, it says license inspector or designee, but they're an employee of the commission, so. But now, in terms of the forestry inspection, if you wanted to go that route, the commission, it says may designate that. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's up to you all to what level you want to have that done.
Okay. I'm just throwing things out here just so we can get some clarification so we understand, they understand what they'd be voting on. I noticed that it said in there, no crossing the streets.
It just simply says that this bill does not authorize them. That's line 96. The permit does not authorize them to drive across a county road. So now you could do that separately, but it just basically saying just because they're permitted doesn't mean you have that right.
Okay.
That was coming from the County Commission Association.
Okay. So then just because we're permitting them to do these things, they don't have a right to cross. But if we wanted to discuss and say, okay, here's point A and B, and we'll allow you to cross the road if it's properly signed, properly lined, attended, giving traffic the right of way, not the ATVs. We could come back and say that, you know, if we're having to permit this and having to write some regulations, kind of like what Matt's handed us here, we could actually allow some of that we wouldn't be in violation of this particular act.
That's exactly right. And you'll know where those are likely to be, given the fact that you'll have a map of all the access points, and you'll know what the expected routes are, because that's part of the documentation they need to give you.
Anything else?
Does that bill have one access point in and out of that parking?
I don't think.
Might have to ask him.
You can ask him, but I don't think it's calling for one. I'm not sure.
No, they have to show you where the access points are and whether they're new or approved, including details. It says including details about how the access will be accomplished while maintaining normal drainage feature of the road.
My point is, I'm trying to get them away from my driveway. One point going in and out of that parking, one house on. Straight shot. A while back, Randy, I feel like he's on my side. He passed a law up on the other end of 3 hours. I got 8 and 9 at the foot of my driveway. 18 wheelers. All hours of the night, man. 18 wheelers. Pulling triple axle trailers, pulling another double axle trailer behind it. All night long. Get one route in and out of that park. And it's on up the highway. 126, something like that. County Road 126 is one house right at the very end of it. One house.
Not, thank you.
Appreciate your consideration for a resolution of support tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.